Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Luke Owen, D-A-D, and I'm joined by that bitch, Tempo T Wrestler. How are you, sir?
I am Nightwing today, because Grayson Waller, I guess podcast listeners can't hear this, but the costume is being used 2 days in a row, more than it has been in probably, I don't know, 4 years.
But you said in your like written review that went up on the Wrestle Talk news that if you move too much in it, it makes like an awful noise. So you can edit around that. We're going to be doing this live. You have no option now.
Well, see, it was more of a problem with the edited review because I was wearing a lav mic that was clipped to the front of this thing. So I was really like, if I make any kind of movement in this thing, it's going to pick it up because it's so close. Now, because I'm using a mic that's like a foot away, I'm not as worried if I talk with my hands a little bit and there's a little bit of squeaking because I don't think it's going to pick it up, but I'm not too worried.
Maybe. I was going to...
Can you hear me moving around right now?
Want to try again? No, I think you can get away with that.
Don't see? Exactly. I'm not going to be moving around the whole time.
No, I was going to bust out a Halloween costume for this show. It's Halloween Havoc, so I figured that I really should try and dress up for it. But I had to take my kid to be registered to make sure she's a real person. And I literally only just got back, really. So I didn't get time to go into the garage and bust out my old Halloween costume.
Shame. Absolute shame. Well, you know, you got to make sure that your child is real. Otherwise, you'll never know.
Well, that's what we thought. I prioritized that over dressing up as Chucky. And like, it's annoying as well, because I would have been Chucky. And that is like very apropos for this episode. Man, really wish I had found the time to be able to do that now. Is it upstairs? I may have
wore it last year.
I did wear it last year, but I don't know where I'm trying to remember now if it's in. If it's upstairs in our bedroom or if it's downstairs in the garage. So we may cut this slightly short and I may run and see if I can find it. But let's get into the show itself. Here we are talking about Halloween Havoc and the fact that someone should have won a title last night and they bloody didn't. Here is the show. I have got a controversial opinion for you, Tempo. Here is what I'm thinking. I was thinking about this. I've literally just got back from taking my daughter to be registered to make sure she's a real person, right? And I had, you know, a car ride back. And in between singing Alanis Morissette, I was thinking about this episode of NXT. Here's my big hot take of NXT 2.0, Tempest.
Hit me.
It isn't getting over.
that's scorching hot there, Luke. Coming in hot, brother.
Bear with me now. Bear with me with my hot take. This new version of NXT 2.0, it ain't getting over. the ratings have not changed since they moved away from the flippity indie nerds that don't know how to get over and can't main event WrestleManias, and they've moved to the Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard idea of what NXT should be. They've introduced a bunch of characters. They've changed a bunch of gimmicks, and ain't none of them getting over. With the exception of one man, and that one man's name is Bron Breakker. I am a man who is on the old Twitter sphere. I'm checking to see what people are saying about NXT 2.0. No one ain't saying anything else about anyone else. Not saying anything about Von Wagner. Not saying anything about Joe Gacy. Is that what his name is? Not anything about nothing positive about him. Certainly not anything about Carmelo. All they're talking about is Bron Breakker and how, hey, Bron Breakker, he could main event WrestleMania. He should be the one to beat Roman Reigns. He should diddly dee. He should diddly do. That's who everyone is talking about. Going into this show, everyone was like, wicked. Put the belt on Bron Breakker. Now is the time. Pull that trigger. Let's get the belt on him. WrestleVotes even put out saying today marks the start of the Bron Breakker era of NXT 2.0 while the champion era winds down. Everyone won a belt but him, and he lost in the main event. Oh, sorry. A few people have pointed out Tony D'Angelo.
Forget about it.
Would you say, Tempest, that he's over?
Tony D'Angelo or Bron Breakker?
Tony D'Angelo.
He's over. He's over in a different way. He's over in that he's got a funny catchphrase, and people, when they see him, they'll go, "Yeah, is that guy? Ah, the Gabagool, Bobbity Boothy.
Keep it cool, you know? Gabagool."
But when you look at Bron Breakker, I look at him and say, that guy is going to main event WrestleMania in 2 years.
Someone's asked me to do my Barney Rubble. Hey, Fred. I am Lou Cohen, DAD. I'm joined by Tempest T Wrestler here to review NXT 2.0 Halloween Havoc. The main event of this show was Bryn Breakker versus Tommy Champs. And unfortunately, Bron Breakker did not win the title at the end of the night. What did you make of all of this, Tempest?
I don't want to say that they had to put the title on Bron Breakker. You know, I don't want to lock them into the box of saying that, like, this is the only way it could have been done and they did it the wrong way and I'm smarter than them and blah, blah, blah. Not going to say any of that. But I think that they could have done a better job at making Bron Breakker look like more of a star coming out of this. You know, I've been writing a lot of lists about the best matches of each calendar year for WWE, dating back to like the year 2000. And a number of them, I look at like maybe the match that Edge had with Kurt Angle in 2002, where he goes out there and he loses at Backlash, but he gets over exponentially in defeat because he was a young guy who hadn't really been proven as a single star. And he goes in there against Kurt Angle and he hangs with him. He gets really close to winning. And then the Olympic world champion beats him. Excellent. Perfect. One of the best matches of Edge's career, even to this day. Excellent stuff. I thought they could have done something like that here with Bron Breakker. Now, obviously, Bron Breakker is not as smooth or as polished in the ring at this stage as Edge was in 2002, but I still think that they could have done a lot better of a job of making it seem like Bron Breakker was really close to winning, because basically, once they went to the outside, I was just like, nah, this is Tommaso Ciampa just beat him. Tommaso Ciampa was solidly the better man. And I wanted this match to be like really close at worst. And at best, I wanted Bron Breakker to win.
So I, so they went to the outside and they exposed the concrete. And Bren Bruckham went to do a move onto Tommaso Ciampa, and Ciampa reversed it and hit a DDT onto the concrete, the exposed concrete. So, you know, Bron Breakker comes up and he's cut open, right? And then they slide into the ring, fairy tale ending, and Bran Breakfast kicks out. I've got a whole list of these, by the way. It's going to be someone in the comments who's super mad at me for doing this, but I think it's hilarious. So Bryn Bruckhouse kicks out the fairy tale ending. And then Ciampa hits a bunch of knees and hits another fairy tale ending. And I'm sat here reading my notes thinking like, I was like, crikey, are they putting this guy over strong when he wins this belt? Bloody hell. Because he's going to kick out of two fairy tale endings. There's a man, they're going above and beyond to put him. And then he lost. And I was like, oh no, he just, oh, he just lost then. All right. Like, it felt like the match was like getting ready to get into its final sequence, and then he just lost. And like, I hear there's a, you know, a few people are making the arguments that Ciampa shouldn't have lost it. Short title reigns never get anything over, this, that, and the other. And I fully appreciate that. And I don't think that, I don't 100% disagree with this. But I go back to how I think that Bret Baker is one of the most over things in NXT 2.0. If you weren't ready to put the belt on him now, don't book this match. Because now he's just lost. So I was thinking, like, are they saving it for a bigger moment? Is this something they're going to do at like a Survivor Series or day one? Are they going to, like, you know, we can put an NXT title match on a pay-per-view on a bigger stage, so it's not in front of the 150 people that are packed out the disco that the NXT 2.0 is? So it just felt like it was a really weird decision. Also, like, because they've now made all these changes, Ciampa doesn't feel like he's the right champion of this new era.
Yeah. And I mean, Ciampa, the whole deal with his title reign here has just felt a step off, you know, like starting the title reign of Tommaso Ciampa after, oh, 900 days, whatever, since I've had Goldie. In my opinion, Tommaso Ciampa, his first reign is the best NXT title run ever. That is the best NXT champion. Never, in my opinion, did the belt mean more than when it was on Tommaso Ciampa. He was having great matches, best storyline in promotional history, the whole deal. Him winning the title back should have been huge. Should have been like the culmination of a three-year story. And instead, it wasn't even the main event segment on the show. It was the bloody wedding, right? Which, whatever, index wedding, I don't care. It was a throwaway match, basically. It's like, our champion got hurt. Who we got? Tommaso Ciampa. Here you go. That was the extent of the buildup for this title reign. And it really disappointed me then. And now it's been a month, and he's just like, yeah, he's just a guy with a belt. Like, I don't feel like Tommaso Ciampa is the guy anymore. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like he should be the champion of this version of NXT. And I'm not, you know, and this is the other thing as well. It's like, I know a lot of people also argue that, I know, let me get on my list, Bran Brocker isn't ready to be the NXT champion. In which case, I go back to my argument, don't put him in this position then. Put him into a North American title feud. Get him ready to be in this position. I don't think putting him in this position helps him in any way, shape, or form. Because now I think that because everyone went into it expecting for Brock Breslin to win, and he hasn't, I think this actually slightly hurts him. I don't feel that he is more over because of this defeat. And if he's not more over because of this defeat, then this was a failure.
Yeah, I think that's it too, because you look at this guy and they very clearly have high hopes for Bron Breakker, and rightfully so. I think he's the best prospect to come through NXT in, like, I don't know, maybe ever, honestly. I think as a performer, I see more of him in this stage than I saw in Charlotte Flair or Roman Reigns or Rusev when they were at this stage in their career. He's got so much charisma and so much potential that I absolutely could see him main eventing WrestleMania one day. So with that in mind, I would be booking everything to make him look like the biggest star possible. And I don't think they did that with this match. And you could have just changed the way they booked this match in order to make that happen. He doesn't need to win, but obviously that's the best way to make someone look like a star, is having them win. But there's just so many things they could have done differently to have this work out in a more beneficial manner.
It was a good match. It was all right. It was pretty good. It wasn't a star-making performance, I would certainly say. And like, he is a guy that has he's overcome a lot of hurdles in terms of the fact that they gave him a really dumb name, and they are doing everything that they can to tell you that he is not a Steiner, while at the same time telling you that he is a Steiner. And then, like, but then he's overcome this terrible name. He's overcome these mixed messages of who he really is. And then I feel like this was a step back. for me personally, I don't think this was the home run that perhaps this could have been. You know, like Mandy Rose won her belt, and I thought that was completely the right move. I like the fact that Imperium won, because I think MSK are the biggest dickheads I've ever seen, so I'm glad that they lost. And I think that, you know, they changed the women's tag titles, which I also think was the right move as well, because the less we have of Io Shirai and Zoe Stark as a tag team, I'm all for. It just, like, it felt like this should have been the new era of NXT. Like, I know we're in the new era, but this should have been like the show that cements this new era. And it wasn't quite that.
Mm-hmm. It felt more like another, it felt like a big episode of NXT 2.0. And I don't think that NXT 2.0 has been a good show, you know, narratively. You can talk about whatever you want with the characters and the actual wrestling and stuff like that. That's fine. It's irrelevant in this conversation. Narratively, from storyline points of view and just the way that the whole show is tied together, I don't think NXT 2.0 is a good show. So when you have a big episode of a show that I don't think is very good, it's just like, yeah, it was a big show. We got some title changes and everything, but I walked away. I didn't feel like this was a takeover event or anything. I didn't even feel like this was like at the level of a special episode of the previous NXT. It was just a bigger than average episode of NXT 2.0 with some title changes on it.
Just going to answer. A few people have asked me if my beard is uneven. It slightly is. It's because I haven't had a shave since my kid was born. Also, I haven't cut my hair in a couple of days after. So I'm looking like a complete state at the moment.
It's okay. I'm completely immobile right now. I can't move at all in this thing.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, well, let's see what you've got to say in the Ultra Chat. But however, Tempest, I can't help but notice that you are in a Halloween costume for Halloween Havoc because you've dressed up as everyone's favorite sidekick, Kid Flash. And I am...
Flash boy.
I know you're not. Anyway, so you've dressed up for this event. And I feel like I'm now slightly underdressed. So I'm going to pass this across to you, Tempo, to quickly go through the Ultra Chats while perhaps I have a little costume change. Keep cool, Gabba Cool.
Gabagoola, forget about it. All right, he's gonna go and venture off. Of course, if you want to get in your Ultra Chats, make sure you do that. WrestleTalk.com/support. We will read through everyone that's $5 and above before the end of the show. So with that in mind, Charles Berg says, quite an enjoyable show. Immediately messed it up. Matches were good. Almost saw Shirai die. Ciampa finally did an old Kratos costume. They look identical. They do. Did Blimp Blinker do anything with Chucky? I'm a bit shocked that Brand Breakfast didn't get the win. Kyle O'Reilly is a dork. Yeah, yeah, he is. And that absolutely pains me to my core. It really does. Blimp Blinker did do something with Chucky. They had a lot of play during this show, which was, you know, fun. Talking about Braun Breaker's dad, the famous Rick Breaker. Goodness me. Dark73 says, hey, boys, I'm going to say that I think the right decision was made to hold off on Braun Breaker winning the NXT Championship. For me, since he's only been on TV for about 6 weeks, I don't think he's ready just yet, but he will be sooner rather than later.
Title match.
He said it. And even still, people like to say that this is developmental and stuff like that. Well, if it's developmental, then go all the way with it being developmental. Put the title on a developmental guy. If he's got the potential, I'm not saying put it on Joe Schmo out of the Performance Center that's got no potential, but Braun Breaker could be a really big guy. He could be a really big deal. And if you put the title, oh my God, a lot of these people don't understand what the Brian joke. Ollie called somebody Brian on the podcast yesterday. I'm not going to say whose name Brian might be. But
we might have let that slip, to be honest.
Oh yeah, but I'm not gonna do it. So who the F is that guy? I'm not swearing.
Tempest. Yo, Tempest. Did someone say Chucky?
Oh
yeah, they did. Yeah. Chucky was all over this episode and it ruled. Love the fact that Chucky was all over this. Wonderful. So to peel back the curtain somewhat, me and Tempest were recording the podcast intro and outro that Memberks can watch. And obviously, if you had listened to this on the podcast, you'll have already heard this bit. And I suddenly thought, man, I really should put a costume on. But where is it? Is it upstairs or is it in the garage? Turns out it was in the garage. So we ended it like 1 second, like 1 minute early, and I quickly ran to the garage to go and find this. I said to them, was like, I ain't got time to put it on. We'll have to do it like in the middle of the show.
So we'll do it live.
We'll do it live, pal. But yeah, so anyway, like Chucky, let's get into the main show. Chucky was all over this because, you know, they've got the sci-fi. He's got his brand new TV series, which rules, by the way. It is a terrific series. Of course, it's a terrific series because Don Mancini is a genius and the Child's Play franchise is my favoritist of all the horror franchises. I absolutely adore those films. And I love the new series. And I love the fact that Chucky was on this show. He was kind of like there to introduce some of the stipulations and stuff and spin the wheel and Scareway. What was it called? The Scareway to Hell ladder match. And
sure was
talking about like the main event. They even had a moment when, let me get my list. Buke Newcomb was backstage and he was working out and like the Chucky doll was next to him, a callback to when Chucky interrupted Rick Steiner to promote Bride of Chucky, I think it was. So it was like, how did you find Chucky on this show?
They really could have done some work on his mouth movements during these segments.
They had one shot, Tempest. They had one shot and they just worked with that.
You could do better. I'm not giving them. otherwise, yeah, it's cool. Like I'm not in love with Chucky to the point that I will dress up like damn it like this. But I mean, I thought it was fine. It was entertaining. Yeah. I like the interplay between him and Braun Breaker because I pop for stuff like that. I was like, oh, this is Vince. It was a little Easter egg. I like that. Shout out to Rick Breaker.
Do you know what? He was a better host than The Rock was for WrestleMania. He was a better host than Hogan and Titus O'Neil were for this year's WrestleMania. Like, I think he's probably been one of the better hosts that they have had for when he was on more than one segment.
Yeah, he wasn't even the host of this show. That was LA Knight. Oh, wait. No, it wasn't. Even though he won the stupid I'm going to host Halloween Havoc match last week. Whatever.
Yeah, that guy, what's his name? Jason Waller?
Grayson Waller. That's the thing, the Grayson.
I know. Yeah, I didn't like him much. Let's talk about the opening contest, though, which was this insane in the membrane ladder match. This was just, as a fan who grew up during the Attitude Era and seeing like high spot ladder matches, a man who then, you know, fell in love with Ring of Honor through via Ladder Wars with Steen and Generico, I loved this. I know some people have not really enjoyed this match because everyone looked like they were about to die at every single opportunity, but man, I had quite a fun time with this match.
Well, it's good to disagree with your host sometimes. I don't know.
I'm not the host of this show.
Sure. Co-host. I did not like this match very much.
Why did you like this match?
Because at some point, like, there's a fine line that you got to walk with ladder matches where, oh, I want it to feel crazy and chaotic, but I also don't want to feel like someone's actually about to die. And throughout this match, I was like, someone's going to get seriously hurt, like, at any second. Like, I didn't have the faith in the performers to do this match safely.
Yeah, you know? That's fair. I think that's fair.
It's tough. That is a real moment where I get pulled out of the suspension of disbelief, you know, where I'm just like, I'm worried for the sake of the performers. And it was just one after the other. Like, we said on the podcast last week that it might not be a great idea to book these six performers in a ladder match, given how last week's triple threat match also did not go well. And sure, mistakes can be made in matches with very experienced people here and there, no doubt. But I think it's a bit of a trend here that WWE likes to book inexperienced people in more complicated situations than perhaps they're ready for. And
that's fair.
I see that happening a lot more with the women's side of things than with the men's side of things. And I don't know why that is either, but you get matches like this and there was a bad Hurricane Rana spot right out of the gate where I was like, okay, we're getting off on the wrong foot. But then it looked like Zoe Stark might have hurt herself, and then she seemed okay after that. But there was that moment, and then there was, of course, the famous Io Shirai spot that just went horribly, horribly wrong.
I don't know, man. It looked like she. I mean, she's absolutely fine. She's totally fine. And I think that she was completely in control of what she was doing. I think she knew how she was falling. She knew how she was landing. Her scream falling down makes it sound so much worse than it actually was.
I'm not super sure. Just because, like, in my experience, you don't want to catch your legs on the top rope. You know what I mean?
No. Oh, you don't want Nick Jackson in this situation.
No. And that, to me, is where, like, if she just took, like, a nasty kind of looking bump onto the ladder bridge, I was like, all right, that's kind of the gig. You know, you're taking a bump through a ladder bridge. It's not going to tickle. But just the catching your legs on the top rope moment, I was just kind of like, oh, man, I don't know if that was supposed to happen. But regardless, there were a number of spots throughout the match that were like that, that just kind of, like, I don't know. I wasn't super into it just because of that.
Hey, you know what? I enjoyed this somewhat because I thought it was just like, it was nut spot after nut spots. I never felt like anyone was ever in any form of danger. I mean, the only like real like massive botch that I can like really recall was Zoe Stark not doing a very good 450.
Oh, like, that was another one.
That was, but like even then, it just didn't look very good. But like anything, like anytime they were being thrown into the ladder and things like that, like I have seen way worse.
Oh yeah.
With way less experienced people doing them. Those are very scary to watch. I actually thought the majority of this was totally fine.
Well, again, we're here to discuss. There's not one correct opinion. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. So all of you calling me an idiot in the chat can, you know, have a great day.
I mean, going by the chat, I think actually people are more on your side than they are mine. But I will say, you know, like I think something you and I may possibly agree on is that WWE makes movies. It's just the movies that they make are real bad.
Yeah.
We had a series of horror skits with Dexter Loomis and Johnny Gargano, the zombie ref, and Carmelo Hayes, and it was real, real bad. I'm trying not to swear because I don't like to do a lot of swearing on these shows, but I really do want to use a word to describe this because this was just like, I have made horror movies. That was what I used to do with my spare time. Me and my friends would get together and we would make horror movies. And they looked just a toy gory, you know, and every single horror movie that me and my friends made looked just as bad as this. The difference was our budget for making those horror movies was £15 and a packet of peanuts. And we had like my, you know, my friend's dad's VHS camera that we were like stopping and starting again to like try and like make our cuts because we didn't have my friend's reel to reel, like tape to tape deck didn't always work properly. So we try and do like the cuts in camera as easy as possible. It was a bit easier when we got a digital camera, but they always looked real bad. We loved making them, but they always looked real bad, but they were super duper cheap and crap. This was really expensive and crap. But looked cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have the excuse, do they? I will give props to Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. I think they have good comedic timing together. They made some jokes that I laughed at. And that's better than a lot of WWE comedy stupid skits like this. Oh, the rest of this, I just want to watch wrestling. You know, I said that on Twitter. And people are like, well, you're watching WWE and WWE's not wrestling. I need this narrative to die that WWE is not wrestling. Because you're going to say, WWE, it's sports entertainment. They're not trying to be wrestling. They are trying to be wrestling. They're just bad. It's just bad wrestling. Just because they want to call it something else doesn't mean that a spade is not a spade. You know? And this was another moment where I was just like, I'm watching a terrible horror movie ripoff thing that's still comedy that I don't understand what the point of it is, you know? And instead, I'd rather just watch Carmelo Hayes face Johnny Gargano and have a great match. Oh, well. It's fine. Who cares?
Speaking of things that I don't think WWE do particularly well, I mean, Joe Gacy, he's bad right to censor. And he is like right to censor was one of my all-time favorite gimmicks. He is a bad version of that gimmick. I get what they're doing. I get that he's a heel. But I don't think that it's not fully landing. I know people have said this way better than I have. So my, like, really, it's just, this is bad. It's bad RTC. The thing that made me laugh the most in this segment, though, because he had a squash match against the lads, is that, man, does Vince love the simple giant gimmick. He absolutely, and he has wanted to get over the simple giant for years and years, 20 odd years. It's basically how he brought in the Big Show was to be the simple giant. That's what he loves to do with all of these people. And yeah, they have got their next attempt at doing the simple giant gimmick. The problem was, and I pointed this out to Ollie when they made this announcement and stuff, that they wanted people to be of a certain height. They're basically the same height. So he doesn't look like he's a giant compared to Joe Gacy.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've said my piece enough times about Joe Gacy. I think his character sucks. I think the interplay between him and Harlan has some potential. There's potential there for interesting storytelling and interesting promos. You know, that's neat. That's cool. I mean, I'm into that slightly. I just need Joe Gacy to have better writing. And that's not coming. So I'm just kind of like, he comes out and I'm like, oh, God. Another thing. It took like 3 segments in a row before I found something on this show that I enjoyed. You know, and that's too many. If I'm watching this show as a casual fan, I'm not making it through 3 segments.
Here's my other hot take I've got for this show. Actually, no, I'll get to that in a second. The other Halloween skits that they were doing backstage for the party were also pretty bad. You know how I said, like, Tommaso Ciampa just feels really out of place in this version of NXT? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's even, like, it's so much more true of a statement with Kushida. Kushida does not feel like he belongs here anymore. And I just sort of looked at him and I was like, I feel really bad for you, actually, that you're here now. And he just feels like I think he needs to be out of NXT. Take him up to the main roster, because like he does not need to be in NXT. Just take him up to the main roster and have him run around with the 24/7 geeks if that's what he's going to be doing. But I'd kind of much rather him there, because at least he would feel like he would fit on the main roster. He does not feel like he fits in this 24 in this NXT thing, yo.
I mean, I've never thought that Kushida was a WWE guy. Period.
It's never really felt right, has it?
No, and he left New Japan and he's like, I'm going to WWE. And I was like, why? Like, I get it. If it's simply money and I'm going to have a home for my daughter and I don't need to worry about money ever again. If that's your number one priority, which it's a business by all means, that's your right. Then cool. Go for that. If it's at all based on career and how you're going to be pushed and whatnot, I was like, you're going to be on 205 Live within a month. And now they barely even have 205 Live anymore. So they still have it.
They still tape it. It's still on the network. They still do those shows. And speaking of which, I think Odyssey Jones is going to win the Cruiserweight Championship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's been on 205 Live. I think they're just going to just completely do away with the weight limit nonsense. And it's just going to be a lower card belt and it'll be a comedy. I've done Bucky O'Hare is there for podcast listeners that he has got the Cruiserweight title, but I think he's going to win the Cruiserweight title from Roderick Strong.
Yeah, go for it. Who cares anymore? Who cares about, yeah, who cares? Their plans of doing the revamped Cruiserweight division, that didn't happen at all. Instead, they fired the entire division. So why not put the Cruiserweight title on the guy that's 305 Live?
I hate everyone in the backstage party. And then, we had Mandy Rose versus the American Gonzalez. Because Raquel Gonzalez came out on a motorbike, right?
Yeah.
The American Gonzalez.
I got it.
Yeah. You get that?
She looked like a highlighter in this match.
This match got real silly real quick when Raquel put on a Jason like a hockey mask thing and sprayed her with a fire the fire extinguisher thing. But Mandy Rose wins via a hooded figure, and she then celebrates with Toxic Attraction, who I don't think we actually said won the tag titles earlier in the night. So now all of Toxic Attraction have got belts, and they all stood in a row with their belt, and I was like, that was the right decision. I like all 3 of them with the belts, and I think it looks really, really good on them. So Mandy Rose's first championship in WWE as well, I believe.
Yeah, very, very surprising given where things started with all this just a few months ago. You know, I would not have expected Mandy Rose to be the one to dethrone Raquel Gonzalez when she won the title at Stand and Deliver at all. She would not have been on a list of 20 guesses I would have had to do this, but I think that she has been fine since coming back. I think that the character of just, I'm so sexy, will possibly get played out a little bit. But as for this match, and I think this was the correct move, Toxic Attraction should have had all the titles. I would have gotten to it a little bit differently, but we've ended at the correct point. And we're going again with Dakota Kai.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the I was going to make a point then about Mandy Rose. Oh, yeah. There's a reason why I think you'll think that her I'm a bit sexy gimmick is going to get tiresome. It's because Carmella has the same gimmick on Raw.
Precisely. And
Aaliyah has the same gimmick on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
That is why it will get tiresome. But yep. Yeah, you're right there where you said that the hooded figure revealed themselves to be Dakota Kai. So I guess she's not being called up after all. Dakota Kai.
I guess
she's not being called up after all. She's gone back to NXT. And yeah, there's like a slight disappointment then that she is just going back into a feud with Raquel. Like, I felt like that ended. We had the full stop of that story. And I don't know why we're doing, in the same way, why are we doing Nakamura, Harry Corbin again? Why are we doing Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch again? Why are we doing Dakota Kai versus Raquel Gonzalez again?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the way, it's the WWE way of booking, where the babyface won the blow-off match.
Sorry, and then Eva Marie also has the same gimmick.
Also true. Also true. God. Good Lord. But the babyface won the blow-off match. And then the heel just attacked them for the heat again. Is this TNA? This is Mr. Anderson attacking Kurt Angle after he'd gotten the blow-off. Whatever. I don't know. Especially when you consider that I think earlier on this show, before this match, we had a vignette from Kaylee Ray, who's mad. She's mad that she came here and has basically been forgotten about. And it's like, yeah, you've got Kaylee Ray over there. If you want Raquel Gonzalez to do something else, you set it up on this show that she's pissed off about not getting an opportunity. Have Kaylee Ray attack Raquel Gonzalez, and then you've got something new.
The problem there, though, Tempest, is that, like, why would you attack someone to make them lose the title? Surely you would want to attack them so you can get the title? Anyway, it doesn't really matter. Someone also just pointed out then, like, didn't Dakota and Kel only have one match? You only need to have one match. Yeah. You don't need to have a series of three or seven. You could have just done the one match. But, like, Dakota Kai could have lost that match and got called up, and it would have been fine and dandy. This is basically taking a step back and going on a roundabout. At this point of my morning, Tempest, I had to take my daughter for a little bit because my wife needed a bit of rest. So my notes start to get a little bit sparse at this point here because I'm typing with one hand. My notes basically go, this movie sucks. This guy's an annoying prick. The third Uso debuts.
Hey.
There's like three segments and I had those of my notes that I had.
Yeah, I can pretty much work out what you're on about. Yeah. I think this was the second half of the Carmelo Hayes chasing around the Haunted Mansion and stuff. You know what I would want to watch if I wanted to see a Haunted Mansion? I'd just watch the goddamn Haunted Mansion. I'd watch Eddie Murphy running around a house with ghosts.
It's real good.
Yeah. I don't have the energy. I don't have the energy. Shout out to the Muppets. I'd rather watch the Muppets. Remember when the Muppets hosted Raw? That was also terrible.
Do I ever?
Like, that was a terrible episode of Raw.
Oh, what are you talking about? They had the thing, like, everyone on Twitter was saying, like, this is like proper early days of Twitter as well. Everyone was going like, oh man, I hope they do a segment with Beaker and Sheamus. And then they did with Beaker and Sheamus, and it was great. And we were like, hey, they did the thing that we all thought they would do. And we all loved it.
I'm pretty sure it's either that or one like 2 weeks apart from it. Because I talked to Brian Alvarez in Chicago when I was there for All Out. And I brought up, because I'm pretty sure the Muppets episode of Raw was the first ever show I ever listened to from the F4W world. And I told him about that. And I'm pretty sure that episode is where he goes back and like reviews the Jeremy Piven episode of Raw to make sure that it was not, in fact, worse than the Muppets episode of Raw. It's either that or the walkout, but man, 2011 was a bad time for Raw also.
There was, yeah, on that Muppets thing, like the next pay-per-view that they have after that, there is a moment when Jack Swagger is having a match And there's nothing that sums up WWE's mid-card from that period more than Michael Cole saying about Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger's had a tough time in the moment, looking to gain some momentum after being embarrassed by the Muppets on Raw.
Oh, I can't believe he didn't get over. Oh, the third Uso showed up.
Yeah, he did.
Solo Sikoa.
Yeah, he looked real good.
It's not shocking. All of the, you know, the Usos and their Usos are very, very good. I'm more and more shocked by the day that WWE didn't seem to want Jacob Fatu.
Also, I don't know why, like, why didn't they just call him an Uso? Because the crowd, like, this is the Steiner thing all over again, right? Mm-hmm. Because the crowd were chanting Uso at him. And he looks like an Uso because he is one. So why didn't you just call him that?
I don't know. I would. I can kind of understand not wanting to have a third brother given the same name as a twin tag team, especially if they're involved in a big family.
Yeah, why would you want to have more family members in a big family-based safe?
Well, sure. Yes. In theory, if I signed this guy, I would immediately put him on the main roster and just be like, hey, look, more stuff for Roman Reigns to do. I would do that, but if I'm not going to do that, I understand the thought process of giving him a different name to try and separate him from that. I have a question.
Go for it.
Is Wale a prophet?
I know, right? So, like, when he got signed, I had so many people message me on Twitter being like, oh my God, it's the third Uso. And Now that he debuted, and I knew that he debuted because I had a bunch of messages this morning being like, guys, Wale was right. The third Uso is finally here. And he debuted. And now as when I was writing my notes, I actually didn't even take down what his name was because I didn't, you know, I was trying to hold on to my kid. So I literally just wrote down to remind myself, the third Uso.
Yeah. I think Wale's third eye might be open. I think we should go through and like comb the two Quizlemanias that he's been on to see if we can't find something to place a bet on. Because, I don't know, he's one for one so far. We need to see if there's anything else that we could interpret as a prediction of some sort.
It's probably something to do with Sam Roberts and WWE going by the last episode. Mm-hmm. We also had the tag match between Imperium and MSK, my least favorite tag team in the history of mankind. They're not for me. I'm an old man. They're not for me. I totally understand that. Came out with this DJ and I was like, I hate these kids. They're not for me though. I'm there in my rocking chair, yelling them to get off my lawn. And I they had some lumberjacks come out. I wasn't sure if half of them were in Halloween costumes or that was just their NXT gimmicks.
Yeah. Oh man. See, you know, when you said that people don't fit in with this NXT 2.0, I thought you were going to talk about Kyle O'Reilly.
I mean, yeah, this
poor guy. Oh my God. He's the most dead I've seen.
He's kind of one of the lumberjacks.
Yeah. Him and Von Wagner were, yeah, they were just hanging out as a couple lumberjacks. There.
I saw the banana, and I was like, man, I can't believe they've got a banana as a gimmick now in WWE. It makes sense. I didn't see Cool Kyle there, though. That's so sad. That's made me feel very sad. Why would you tell me that? Now I feel really sad.
Sorry, dude. Yeah. I mean, I thought the lumberjack, aw. Sad Chucky. I thought that the Lumberjacks, as Lumberjacks go, did a particularly poor job on this show.
They really did.
You know, if you're looking at, if this is real and you're going to pay these Lumberjacks based on their performance, I don't think any of them should get a check because they didn't throw the guys back in the ring when they got tossed outside. And then they didn't catch Nash Carter when he did a cutter off the top rope. And then they all left. Why were you there? If you were there just to catch the guy when they did a dive, you failed. You failed.
There is like such a, it's a very TNA thing to book a lumberjack match where the lumberjacks leave. Yeah. You know, like in the same way that like TNA would book cage matches so they could do interference spots. Like, yeah. That is, it's a very TNA thing to do. And yeah, but you know what? Imperium won. I thought the match got real good.
I thought this match was great. Yeah.
This match was real good. And like, as much as I think that MSK are kids that I want to get off my lawn, they are very, very good. And I love Imperium. I love Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel. I was kind of surprised to see them win the belts here, though, because again, they kind of feel like old NXT. Mm-hmm. But hey, I thought the match were real good.
Yeah, I thought the match itself was great. Like, they did awesome, awesome near falls towards the end with the Brainbuster. They did a Canadian Destroyer. Of course, we eventually got the finish, which was Imperium's really cool uppercut powerbomb combo and stuff like that. It was a really, really strong match. I like the way that their styles mesh together, because obviously Imperium is the grounded technical team and MSK is the quick, high-flying tag team. And the crowd was really into MSK this time, because
nice.
I don't want to get into any of the reported stuff or the rumors that have been going around about why MSK has been getting booed. But I mean, if they kicked out those 20 people from the building, better off for it. So I always just like to see the company getting the reaction that they want. If it's not like a tug of war with the audience, you know, if they can just, it's why I liked when Cody got cheered on Rampage a week ago, you know,
and then they booed him on Dynamite.
Yeah, I know, in the same building, whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever. But yeah, I thought the Imperium winning this match was a bit odd. It's an interesting choice. Should have been the Grizzled Young Veterans. I don't know whose coffee Grizzled Young Veterans pissed in at some point, because they come so close to winning all the things. They've been the finalists in two separate Dusty Rhodes Classics, and then they haven't won these tag team titles. And I'm like, what's going on here? Because in my opinion, they are by far the best tag team in NXT. Like
100%.
I don't think it's close. It's them as number one and then MSK as like a distant second. But I was waiting for those two teams to have a rivalry the whole year, and it never happened. I was like, this is going to be the new DIY and Revival. It's going to be great. I'm going to love tag team wrestling in NXT again. And then we never got it.
I believe as well, it wasn't the same building between Dynamite and Rampage.
Oh, was it not? Oh, how about that?
Apparently so. Someone said that in the comments, that it wasn't the same building. Either way, get your stuff together, dorks. Cheer Cody. He's great. We all love Cody here. I don't know why we do. Homelander. But anyway, that was, there was the main event, which we've already discussed, where Brock Breslin did not win the belt. Sad for Bret Baker. What did you score the episode?
I gave the episode a 3 out of 5. I could have been pushed to give this a 4 out of 5, because I like the tag match, I like the women's match, and I like the main event, but I didn't like basically everything else. You know,
I think that's fair. I would have also given it a 3 out of 5 as well. I feel like my enjoyment of the ladder match, having now spoken with you about it and seeing the reaction in the comments, I think I might have been completely wrong on that one, to be honest. And, you know, it's okay to be wrong at times and kind of appreciate that. Maybe if I go back and rewatch it with sort of more of that in eye, I may spot more of those things, but I didn't at the time. But yeah, like it was a perfectly fine episode of the show. We put it up into the community poll as well. And 53% thought it was also a 3 out of 5 show, with 21% thinking it was 4 out of 5. So it's actually slightly more upward trend to the 3 and 4 out of 5. 11% said it was a 2 out of 5 show. So yeah, I think it was pretty much everyone is kind of like in the middle.
High three, low four, perhaps. That I think that's fair. This was a better than average episode of NXT 2.0, but I just don't think that's saying a lot.
Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats. Just a couple. Because you're going to ask us to do $25 shout-outs, but I'm going to do those on the AEW show tomorrow.
Okay. That works. I go by the list, but you outrank me, hey, so you make that decision.
It was supposed to be on the AEW show anyway, but because we didn't know if it was good, I think Pete didn't realize we had the episode towards the end. So I'm going to do it on AEW tomorrow. However, I will plug Patreon, wrestletalk.com/Patreon, because we've got a great bunch of content going up there over the next couple of days, including WrestleTalk After Dark, which some of us will be recording after this, and also our review, mine and Ollie's review of TNA Bound for Glory 2007 with not only Pac-Man Jones of Team Pac-Man not being in a tag match with the tag belt that he won, where he pinned Sting, lest we forget, taking on AJ Styles and Tomko, or as I call them in the review, prototype AJ and Amos. And it's also got the Fight for the Right reverse battle royal, where 16 become 8, and then those 8 become 2 who have a singles match to set up an 8-man tournament, and then the person who wins that tournament wasn't part of the original 16, and he beat someone in the semifinals who was part of the 16 but not part of the final 8. Now, if that doesn't convince you, do you want to add something to that, Tempest?
Vince Russo is struck again.
So you could just, you know, back us on the strength of that. I think this may change your mind, though, to read this review, or to watch this review. I read out my forum posts from the time of my thoughts from 2007, like live thoughts. We go through, I found a bunch of my old, like we did this the last time we did a TNA show. I found like all of my old forum posts about it. But you get to hear like young, how would it have been, 2007, like 21-year-old Luke Owen's thoughts on TNA in that moment. And we basically find out why a lot of people on that message board didn't like me much. And I was a big old nerd. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats. Will Campbell said, hi guys, have to say, disagree about the show. With the main event, after Ciampa hit the DDT on the concrete, Braun still kicked out. Then Ciampa had to damn near kill him in order for him to stay down. Also, I thought the HH segment, I mean, the Haunted House segment, was pretty funny.
I said in the edited review, if you like this kind of thing, more power to you. I'm glad that you're getting a thing that you like. This is my review, and I didn't like it. We're both entitled to these two opinions. I'm not going to say that you're wrong for liking it. I just don't want to be told that I'm wrong for not liking it. Not saying that that's what you're saying.
He's not. He just said he disagreed. But,
yes.
Colin Ryan said, this was a total tangent, but is WWE's entrance presentation just kind of bad? The screen's massive, but it's still only images of really short clips that go onto it, and it makes the wrestlers look really small. Well, that's because, Colin, you've got to get them ready for when they get AR, because AR is basically replace Titantron videos.
Oh, God. What a step backwards.
Isn't it just?
Jesus Christ. There's only one good one, and it's the New Day. That's the only good AR thing.
You're absolutely right. So I wasn't saying hated that. I was saying that fellow Mamadou Pudi, who said there, for those who can't afford the Patreon review of Bound for Glory 2007, go watch OSW's review of it. Hey, I mean, I would highly recommend you do, because I think OSW is awesome. But do OSW go through their forum posts from 2007? I don't think they do. And finally, the legit underboss said, I'm with you, Luke. I didn't like the Rascals in Impact. I do not like MSK. Also, how long till Fuego 2 is AEW champion?
That's interesting. I don't know. Somehow I doubt that's ever going to happen, but maybe. It's not the craziest idea I've ever heard. It's like Mr. America.
Someone like when me and Laurie like reviewed an Impact show, and I said then, I was like, man, I hate these Rascal kids. I was like, they just come out and they do this stupid thing under their chin. No one was like, yeah, it's from the Rascals meme. I was like, I know what it's from. It doesn't make me like them. I just think they're a bunch of... I just agree with Zach Gibson. They are the biggest knobheads I've ever seen.
Another reason why the Grizzled Young Veteran should have won the tag titles. Exactly.
Right, okay, that is it for this episode of NXT Halloween Havoc 2021. Thank you all so much for joining us. I'll be back tomorrow here on the WrestleTalk Podcast channel reviewing AEW Dynamite with Ollie Davis. What's on Dynamite tonight? Forgot. Punk Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
Let's check Twitter. We've got a bit of time. I'm just going to see what's on Dynamite tonight.
I should know more about what's on these shows. There's like a Dark Order and Elite match, I think.
There is, yeah. Sammy Guevara, Ethan Page.
Ooh, yes, that sounds fun.
It does sound fun. It's also Bobby Fish's birthday today.
Hey, it's my sister's birthday today as well.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I think she's just getting out of bed. There's the Hikaru Shida Serena Deeb are having their next match.
Yes, you're right. That is. That first match was a banger as well. Really looking forward to that rematch. Really looking forward to it.
That might be the thing I'm looking forward to most on the show, honestly.
We've also got one last Ultra Chat that's just come in from Committed Productions, who said, number one, huge fan. Number two, who do you have beat Hangman for the belt in a year? I'd say do Batman Nightfall with Miro as Bane. And three, can you tell Adam to stop being so uppity about the new DC movies? The Batman looks cool.
Yeah, protect DC. Nightwing.
How did you feel about the Batman trailer?
Oh, I think that movie looks great.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the Batman. Honestly, of all the things that the pandemic has delayed and such, I think that I've been most hurt by having the Batman delayed. I think that movie looks so cool.
I like this. Tempest Sister is Bobby Fish. I did a deep dive review of it over on Cineworld's channel if you do want to hear my thoughts on it. But in short, I've seen that Batman movie already. I saw it about a decade ago. I'd have preferred to have had something slightly a bit different from my Batman films.
Oh, it's going to be different, Luke. It's going to be an indie Batman film.
That's what the other ones were.
They were not.
Yes,
Batman Begins and Dark Knight Rises were not. They were massive blockbuster, huge summer incredible movies.
Where were you on forums back in 2007? That's what everyone was saying about Batman Returns. Batman Returns. Everyone was saying about like Batman Begins, The Dark Knight. Man, it's like if an indie movie got a big budget to make a Batman film. It's what everyone was saying at the time. You're just
but now it's actually like an indie movie. Now you've got You've got Robert Pattinson, who is a good actor for all the Twilight folk out there. He's a great actor. You got Paul Dano, who's going to be an incredible Riddler. You've got Colin Farrell looking unrecognizable as the Penguin. You've got Zoe Kravitz looking like Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, which is A-okay with me.
Hate that costume, though.
I don't care. I don't care.
Hate that costume.
Doing the trick. It's doing the trick. You got those guys. You got Andy Serkis acting. You can see his face. I'm really looking forward to this movie. I think this movie's going to be great.
I'm sure it will be great. I've seen that Batman movie already. And in fact, actually, I saw it twice recently because they basically did the same thing again with the Snyderverse version of Batman. Here's my hot take, Tempest, to wrap things up here.
Are we doing this here? Is this where we finally come to? It's been like 2 years that I've been waiting to have this conversation. Go ahead.
Here's my hot take, Tempest. Warner Brothers and DC have done everything they can to move away from the embarrassment of Batman 66, when actually Batman 66 was the most comics accurate Batman, and they just are too ashamed to admit that.
It's not what I thought you were going to say.
Well, you're going to say that. I think the Batman and Robin's great, because it is.
Oh, no, I didn't think you were going to say that either. We could talk about that another time.
At least he knows what it is.
Yeah, see, okay, I will say quickly. This is just a Batman podcast now. I find more enjoyment in Batman and Robin than I do in Batman Forever.
I can certainly see that. Like, I love Batman Forever. Of course, I love Batman Forever. I was 10 when it came out. But like, I've got a soft spot for Batman and Robin as well, because it knows it's a silly comic book movie. Like, it knows it's a toy advert. So it's just a toy advert. It's just, it's a bad comedy. Its biggest fault is it's not funny. It's not a funny comedy movie.
But it's so bad that it's kind of
it's
funny.
It's so bad, but I love it.
Allow me to break the ice.
They knew what they... Hey, everyone, chill. Great stuff. You have been all over this podcast while I was away. Like, I handed the reins over to sort of Pete somewhat, and then I was tuning into like episodes, and Pete wasn't there, but Tempo was. Like, Tempo's been on every single episode.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I had like a calendar week where I did all four shows, but I definitely had 7-day periods where I did all four shows. Thanks for that, mate. Really love talking about Raw.
You're very, very welcome. Well, I enjoyed you talking about Raw, if it makes you feel any better.
I appreciate that. No, it was a lot of fun. I managed to check off a number of like podcast combinations that I hadn't done yet. Because before you left, I don't think I'd ever done a show one-on-one with Ollie. And I had certainly never done a show one-on-one with Lori. So... And we said on the podcast Extra Bits that the intro to the podcast was the first ever one-on-one conversation that Lori and I had ever had. So we were just fully out in the open going through this experience with everyone else. But no, I mean, obviously, we enjoy having you around. And I obviously enjoy splitting the workload with as many people as possible. But it was fun. Talking about wrestling still be fun sometimes.
It was like, you know, I was saying this to Ollie yesterday when I did the Raw podcast. Like, I didn't watch the shows, but I did continually, I always listened to Fightful's reviews, I always listened to Going in Raw, and I became a listener of the Wrestle Talk podcast, and I very much enjoyed it. It was very good. And I thought you and Ollie in particular, I thought your SmackDown review and Rampage review were very, very good. We often get messages from people who listen to the podcast being like, it's nice listening to the podcast because it's like being part of a conversation that I don't have to be a part of. I can just sort of sit back and just enjoy the conversation. Whereas I was listening to it being like, I need to interrupt these two idiots saying these two very silly things. There's a moment when you, like, Ollie was making excuses for SmackDown, being like, I mean, yeah, they only had like 24 hours to book it because they've only got back from Saudi Arabia. I'm like, that's not an excuse. Do it the week before. If you knew what the results of Crown Jewel were before Thursday, book SmackDown then. So you don't fly back from Saudi Arabia, like, ah, oh, Smack, now what do we do for the show? That's not an excuse, Ollie.
You, in fact, do not need to book your show the day of. You can book it ahead of time. Yeah, SmackDown
exactly.
Sucks.
SmackDown, you and I are all doo-doo. We're doing SmackDown. That was the other thing I was going to say as well. I appear to be the only person in the world who is excited by the SmackDown roster. I think SmackDown got the better roster out of the draft. When I say better, I mean the most interesting one, because they got like a bunch of new people there, like a bunch of new faces. Whereas like Raw feels like the same Raw roster we had 3 years ago.
I can't totally agree. They have hit Row, which is a definite plus. That's an improvement to any roster. They've got hit Row. They've got a couple of people from NXT besides them.
Yeah, Ridge Holland, Xia Li, like brand new faces. That's exciting.
Names I'm very excited to see. Xia Li should do fine. They can debut her right after they debut Mia Yim. Christ. Yeah, but otherwise, I mean, I'm looking at this SmackDown roster and I'm like, well, I guess I'm strapping in for 6 months worth of Charlotte and Sasha Banks, which I am not looking forward to whatsoever. And then there's a bunch, like, I'm just looking at this and I was like, this is a bunch of matches that I've seen before. And I'm not, if I had any faith that they'll do stuff creatively and interesting and new and fresh, I'd be like, yeah, give me an intriguing storyline between Roman Reigns and Jeff Hardy. Or Roman Reigns and Nakamura or Ricochet or whatever. And I'm just like, but I'm not expecting any of those things. They might have matches, but...
No, that's because Nakamura's got into a feud with Happy Corbin. You saw SmackDown, right?
Yeah, I did. I wish I didn't, but I did. Oh, we're getting on the carousel and we're going around a few more times. Christ.
Oh, yeah. Right, well, we're going to end this here because I'm going to quickly run to the garage and see if I can find my costume because I now feel like I should wear it for this show. Thank you all so much for listening. If you enjoy me and Tempo together, we're going to be doing it again on SmackDown this coming Saturday. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.